Amen. Yesterday morning, Dr. Tim called early, or actually texted early yesterday morning, and he was getting ready to leave Veracruz, and he said, finally leaving Veracruz, he said, not feeling well. You may want to be ready. An hour, maybe 2 hours later, he texted back, you're ready, you're on. I do appreciate the opportunity to come and share God's word. You know, we're told in the scriptures to be ready in season and out of season, to give a reason for the hope that we have. And I was reminded this morning that, you know, God is in control, and he knows. And I appreciate someone sharing this morning that even in life's circumstances and situations, there's a reason. And there's a reason. There's someone here this morning, as I was reminded this morning, that needs to hear what God's wanting to say through me this morning. So if you're that person, my prayer is that you will hear God speak that word to you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. I want to continue to look at One Life, the series that we've started. This morning, One Life to fulfill God's mission. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, beginning in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come we might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. I love reading different translations. I'm fond of the New American Standard, like Dr. Tim, and that's usually what I teach and preach out of. But I love looking at the other translations a lot of times and looking at different verses, how they're translated. And I love how the Message translation puts that verse 10. It says, he creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, the work we had better be doing. I love that thought. I love that thought in that verse. You know, last week Skeeter did what I thought was just an unbelievable, amazing job in really kicking off this series, One Life. In his sermon, Skeeter pointed out, people publicly identify with what they are most passionate about. Now, you may be passionate about the fact that Jesus is your Savior, and so rightly so. I hope that you are passionate about the fact that he died for you. And you may be to a point, when I say to a point, passionate about the fact that he is your Lord. But church, what I want to know this morning, what I want to ask you this morning is, does your life show the passion that you have concerning God's mission for your life? It takes it to another step, to another level, if you're fulfilling God's mission for your life. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. Did you know that in 2002, for a period of 3 weeks, Elvis Presley's Greatest Hits album was the number one seller for 3 weeks in 2002, 25 years after his death? That's just an astounding fact to me. Despite his enormous success, though, those closest to Presley said that he died with an unfulfilled life. He died an unhappy man. With all of his popularity, all of his possessions and money, he died of obesity and drug dependency at the age of 42. Sad life. if you really think about it. In an interview following his death with his ex-wife, Priscilla Presley, Priscilla said this about her ex-husband. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what the true purpose of his life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to help save others, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him to the very end. And he knew, listen, he knew he wasn't fulfilling his purpose, the mission that God had for his one life. And she said, so he'd get up on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it. Elvis felt like he was here to do something for God, you know, to preach or to serve or lead others to Christ. But he never let his one life do the very thing that God placed him here on this earth to do, his mission. He never surrendered to God's will and God's mission for his life. And I wonder how many can relate to that today. They're living a life, but they're not really living the life that God intended for them to live, doing what God intended for them to be doing. I don't want to make that mistake. And I don't know about you, but I hope that you don't want to make that mistake either. I don't want you to make that mistake. That's why this morning I want us to look at three questions. Three questions that I pray that will help us understand why we should be living the life that God intended us to live. The first one is this: why am I alive? Have you ever asked yourself that? I have. Different points in my life. Why am I alive? God, why have you kept me alive? Why am I alive? Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, asked that very question. In Jeremiah 20:18, why was I born? Was it to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace? Was he talking about Elvis or was he talking about himself? Or was he talking about you? Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? I believe there's people today who can relate to that, as sad as it is. They're walking around and thinking in their minds and living out this dilemma. Why am I alive? What is my purpose? What is my mission? Elvis was one of those individuals. Unfortunately, I think there's far too many people today that can relate to the words of Jack Hanley. I hope life isn't a joke, because if it is, I don't get it. You ever heard a joke and just didn't get the punchline? Sit there scratching your head? Hanley asked that about life. If life is a joke, I just don't get it. There's a lot of people I don't think that have got it. I know, in watching the media and reading the news and seeing what's taking place in the world today, there's a world full of people that just don't get it. Like Elvis, they spend their lives doing life. They're living a life, but they're not doing what God intended them to do. They're not living their life for God. In reality, what they're doing is they're living their lives for themselves and not God. And they end their lives feeling unfulfilled and empty. Listen, the only way that you and I can avoid this is to understand our one life finds purpose in doing God's will. Plain and simple. The one life that God has given us only finds purpose in doing God's will. There was a point in time in my own life, my early adulthood, for 2 years, I had a job that was a great job. Our family was growing. Everything seemed fine on the outside, but on the inside, my life was in turmoil. Why? I mean, I was serving in the church. I was a visitation team captain. I sang in the church choir. I was involved. I led a college and career department. I was active in kingdom work. But I was not fulfilling the mission that God had for my life. For 2 years, I struggled until finally surrendering to the ministry. Our life finds purpose when we find our lives in the middle of God's will. Dr. Hugh Moorhead, who is the chairman, I'm not sure if he still is the chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Northeastern University, once penned a letter. And he sent this letter out to 250 colleagues, philosophers, scientists, writers, intellects, as he deemed them, asking them one question in this letter. Here's the question. What's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of life? And his findings were, I thought, astonishing and sad. As those he sent the letter out began to respond and send the response back to him, some admitted they made up the purpose of life. Some responded that they just guessed in their response. They really didn't understand the purpose of life. And then many responded back to him that they didn't know what the purpose of life was. And if he knew, would he let them know? I'm thinking these intellects, as Dr. Moorhead deemed them, had read a lot of books, but they had not read this book. Or they would have understood the purpose of life. Sad. Why am I alive? Why are you alive? I think we must understand in this one life God has given us, it has a much greater purpose than our own fulfillment, than our own happiness, than our own peace of mind. In fact, it's not about us. And when we come to realize that, we start the process. It's not about us. Listen, it's about God and God alone. That's why I'm alive. That's why you're alive. God has given us life. He's the creator. He breathed life into us. Rick Warren said it best in his purpose-driven life. You were created by God, you were made for God, and you were put here for his purposes, period. So why am I alive? It's for God. To serve him. To bring him glory and honor. To do his mission. Solomon, the wisest man ever born and to have lived, said this in Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose. Not for its purpose, but God's purpose. So why am I alive? I'm alive to serve God, to live my life for him. And I hope that you feel the same way as we fulfill his mission in this one life that God has given us. The second question is this: does my life matter? Does my life matter? I love the old movie, and to me, it's just not Christmas time without me watching an old black and white movie. It's a Wonderful Life. Can I get a hand for who all loves that movie? George Bailey felt like his life didn't matter. In fact, he made the wish, I wished I'd never been born. He didn't think his life mattered. Boy, was he in for a big surprise of how his one life affected so many, as Clarence the Angel showed him. He was astounded. Have we ever thought about our one life? How much it does matter? And how much we affect others? It does. Our life does matter. Listen, in this alone our life matters. God died for us to give us eternal life. So our life does matter. And I want you to understand that. But listen, the prophet Isaiah, he asked the same thing. He was wondering if his life mattered. And if I've never thought about that reading the book of Isaiah, that his life didn't matter. I think it did matter in his prophecies. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 49:4, "My work all seems useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose." I disagree with him. But that was Isaiah. And I love the story in Luke chapter 8 of the demonic in the tombs. He felt like there was no purpose for his life except to make people fear him. And then one day, he encounters God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus. And his life changes. One day, with that encounter, his life goes from having no purpose and not mattering to mattering. Jesus healed him. And at that moment, he thought that his purpose was to follow Jesus. Literally. He wanted to go with Jesus, the crowd that was with Jesus. He wanted to be a part of that. But Jesus told him this in Luke 8:39. "Go back home. Tell people how much God has done for you. Tell them all that he's done for you." You see, Jesus had another plan and purpose for his life to matter. To go back home and tell everyone. It was only in carrying out Jesus' instructions that his life mattered. He realized how much his life mattered. Because listen, a short time after that, Jesus would show up in that region that he called home. And his life mattered so much, they had heard so much about Jesus that thousands came out to see Jesus. And it says Jesus fed the thousands with a few loaves and fishes. His life mattered in the mission that God had for his one life. I read an article years ago that has been stated there's three levels of life. Three levels. The first level is called the survival level. Maybe you're familiar with this. The survival level. And this is where most live, at the survival level. Just living to survive day to day. Just getting by. Their lives being controlled by their circumstances and situations. Their survival. They're just surviving just today. And then tomorrow comes. The survival level. The next level is called the success level. And this, according to many, is where most Americans live. The success level. Because if you look at life in America compared to other areas of the world, we are very wealthy. I never forget the first time I visited a third world country on a mission trip. I didn't think I was wealthy. I knew I wasn't wealthy. But they viewed me because of the things that I had in my life, the possessions that I have, the opportunities that we have as Americans. These people viewed us as wealthy. So the success level, we are wealthy if you look at other regions of the world. If you've been to where Dr. Tim was at this past week. And though Americans are successful in the eyes of the world, though we are wealthy, for the most part, very few in America feel fulfilled. Elvis is a great example of that. In his day and time, he was tremendously wealthy. Had all the fame that he wanted. Had all the possessions, more than what one man needed. And yet he died unfulfilled and unhappy. See, status and possessions do not bring us true satisfaction in life. That is not what makes our life matter. The third level is called the significance level. How do you get to the significance level? There's three things that has to take place in a person's life for the significance level to take place. One, you know the meaning of life. Why am I alive? That gives significance to your life. Two, your life matters. You understand that your life matters, and it matters to God, that you were created for Him and by Him. And the third thing is, to bring significance to your life, is you live out your life doing God's will. That brings significance to your life. Of those three levels of life, which level are you at this morning? Survival? Success? Or can you say this morning, you have significance to your life because you're living out God's will for your life? You know, you may be here this morning saying, you know, you may be in question if your life matters, if your life matters to God. And I'm telling you this morning, it does. It does. I love the words of Jeremiah 29:11. Because even though those words were spoken to Jeremiah, I think they're spoken to all of God's children today. The praise team sung, "You're a good, good father." Any good, good father wants the best for his children. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that. And again, I love the Message translation. God says, "I know what I'm doing." He does, doesn't he? He says, "I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." So your life does matter. It matters to God. And hopefully it matters to you. The third question I want us to ask this morning as we try to understand concerning this one life God has given us is this. What is my life mission? What is my life mission? What does God want me to do? And I found it interesting that King David, a man after God's own heart, posed the same question. King David in Psalm 89:47 says, Why did you create us? He's asking God, "God, why did you create me? For nothing?" David knew better. He'd come to learn and understand why he was created and what his mission was. The question for us today is, we need to come to that same understanding. We're alive. Our lives matter. What does God want us to do? You know, for many today, even in churches, in my years of ministry, I've been surprised at this. You know, people living their lives without a sense of purpose. And usually it's because their lives are caught up and centered around themselves. And again, remember, I've already said it, it's not about us. It's about God. God has given us one life, a life that does matter, in order to carry out His mission. And what is His mission for us? Well, our mission is the Great Commission. Our mission is the Great Commission. Why was Dr. Tim in Mexico all last week? He wasn't there vacationing. He was there for a purpose. Carrying out the Great Commission. Jesus commanded His followers in Mark 16:15, "Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Go into all the world and tell the good news to everyone. Now, when he said those words to his followers, who was he really saying it to? Was he saying it to pastors like me? No. Was he saying it to missionaries like Mike? No. He was saying it to just ordinary plain old folks who had accepted and recognized who he was and accepted him as the Messiah and were following him. They were just ordinary folk. But he was giving them a sense of purpose. He was giving them their mission. And it's the same mission that is giving to us today. Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. We live a life where God expects us to carry out his mission. Jesus had a mission from the Father. Skeeter said it best during the welcome. To rid us of a debt that we could not pay. A sin debt. Now only Jesus could carry that mission out. There was no other one who could carry that mission out. We need to be like Jesus. Fulfilling our mission. When Jesus' mission was fulfilled here on earth, Jesus was able to say, "It is finished." He had completed what the Father had sent him to do. And I love the fact that even before he completed his mission, God recognized the Son and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You see, he had confidence. God the Father had confidence in God the Son that the mission would be carried out. Amen? Does he have the same confidence about us today as the church? Of carrying out the mission that he's given us. Locally and all around the world. One life. One life to live. One life to give. For the glory of God. I love the words of Paul in his farewell words to the church of Ephesus. You know, over half the New Testament is Paul's writings to believers, to individuals who he had personally carried out his mission to in reaching. And I love his farewell words to the believers at Ephesus. And they're found in Acts 20, verse 24. And in the New Century Version, Paul says this, "The most important thing is that I complete my vision," notice this, "the work that the Lord Jesus gave me." And what was that work? He sums up basically again what Jesus said in Mark 16:15, to tell people the good news about God's grace. The mission hasn't changed. It was the same with the disciples. It was the same with the early church, if you read about the early church in Acts. It doesn't matter who the follower of Jesus is, the mission is the same. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. One life. One life to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One chance to make a life that matters. One life to carry out God's mission. And the same opportunity is given to me, to you, to each one of us. One life. Got your card? Mike's got his, I see. What's the names on your card that you're going to invest in? Invest in. To share the good news with. One life. I've thought about this. What will you say when you stand before God? And God asks, what did you do with the life that I gave you? What did I do? What did you do with the life that I gave you? Well, Lord, you know, I was a little busy. Life's hectic. You know, I was busy with my ambitions. I was busy with my plans. And I just never got around to doing really what you wanted me to do. There just wasn't enough time in the day, enough hours in the day. I don't want to answer like that. And I hope that you don't either. In fact, my prayer is that my life will be so much that when I stand before God, I won't have to hear that question. My prayer is that for me and you, that we just hear those sweet words, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, it takes some of us a while to catch on. I was 29 when I finally let loose of my hard-headedness and stubbornness and surrendered to the ministry. But I hope I've made up for it in God's eyes. One life. And only you can answer this deep down. I don't even think our spouses can really answer this. Or our best friends. Who are you living your one life for? What are you living your one life doing? Is it centered and focused around God, the one who gave you life, the one who has given you eternal life? I hope and pray it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come this morning and Lord, my heart is full this morning of expressions of love and gratitude for you. Lord, knowing the love and grace that you have shown me and demonstrated to me, God, I'm not worthy of your love, and I truly understand and realize that. And yet, despite who I am, you still love me. And you still allowed Jesus to die for me. And that alone is staggering, but then, God, you've called me, you've called each of us. You've invited us. Into your plan. To be a part of it. To be about kingdom work. Fulfilling your mission. Seeing it finished to the end. Of this one life you've given us. So Father, that's my prayer this morning. That we as a church, that we as individuals, would be about fulfilling the mission, the plans that you've laid before us. We don't even have to create a plan. You've given it to us. You've given us all the tools, everything that we are in need of to fulfill it. God, you've not abandoned us. Lord Jesus said he'd be with us always. Always. we have your written word. God, we have your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We have each other. Lord, there's nothing more we're in need of to carry out the mission that you've given us in this one life other than just surrendering. Lord, maybe that's what we need this morning, is just a surrendering of ourselves. What I call the Isaiah syndrome. Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. Lord, give us the courage. Give us the strength to do that one thing. To live our lives out, fulfilling your mission for us and telling others the good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What about you this morning? As we stand and sing this morning, as the praise team leads us, I think this is the most important part of worship. I do, with all of my heart. God's word's important. Singing is important. But I think when God has spoken to us, it's so important for us to speak back to him. So this morning, if God has spoken to you, you come. The altar's open. Whatever God is spoken to you about this morning. Maybe it's being a part of a church that seeks to fulfill God's mission in life. You come for church membership. Perhaps God has been calling you to do something specific mission-wise in your life of fulfilling his mission. You come this morning. Maybe it's just come pray just between you and God. That word surrendering. Would you come and surrender to him this morning as we stand and sing?